Hello, you're listening to episode 5 of Be You, Be Heard, a program of Girl Scout Spirit of Nebraska, where we elevate girls' voices and get a window into their unique paths to leadership. My name is Renee, and I'm your host as we chat with girls and the people who are helping them to grow in courage, confidence, and character. Episode 5 is called The Sisterhood of Traveling Girl Scouts. We'll talk with Kylie, Trisha, Sandra, and Michaela about their trip to Savannah, Georgia.
Really getting to work together, I feel like we kind of learned and we've grown from the experience.
And we'll talk with Sabrina about her trip to Panama and Costa Rica.
So we got to do a lot of releasing these baby turtles back into the ocean.
This podcast is recorded in Lincoln, Nebraska, in the studios of community radio station 89.3 FM, KZUM. Their website is kzum.org. All throughout the summer, Girl Scouts travel the United States and the world. Sometimes they travel with their troops, and sometimes they travel by themselves. We're going to hear now from a Lincoln-based troop that put a lot of work into planning and raising money for a trip to Savannah, Georgia. Savannah is a popular place for Girl Scouts to visit because that's where our organization began, in 1912, by our founder, Juliet Gordon Lowe.
I'm Kylie. I'm in 9th grade, and I live in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hi, my name is Trisha. I am also in the 9th grade, and I live in Lincoln, Nebraska.
My name is Sandra. I'm in 9th grade, and I live in Lincoln.
My name is Michaela. I am in 9th grade, and I also live in Lincoln.
Okay, and you guys are part of a troop. What's your troop number?
Troop 20811.
And how long have you been in a troop together?
2 years.
Yeah, two.
Two years.
So you went on a trip this summer, and I want to hear about that trip. Where did you go?
We went to a trip to Savannah, Georgia.
What made you want to go to Savannah, Georgia?
Well, that's, first of all, the birthplace of the Girl Scouts founder, Juliet Gordon Lowe, and we thought it would be a really fun place to go for this summer.
We also participated in a competition held down in Savannah called Savannah Quest, where in a section of Savannah, they hold like different scavenger hunts and stuff like that, and we have to go around and do different quests, and we get ranked, and the top three places earn a money prize.
And all the scavenger hunts were all based around, like, the history of Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah.
It was really cool. We also got to go and visit the birthplace of Juliet Gordon Lowe, and we got to tour the house, a tasting tour.
It was really cool. They showed us different snacks that, like, were very common for her to eat and stuff like that. And it was really fun and inviting. They let us sit down on the furniture and just kind of look around. And it almost felt like we were like a
living
part
in
of
the
it.
House.
We actually met the current CEO of Girl Scouts there.
What's her name?
Sylviana Savato.
She had a signing. We got to have some of our vests and T-shirts signed. It was super fun just competing with our troop and just like really getting to work together. I feel like we kind of learned and we've grown from the experience.
We still came in 9th.
We did come in 9th.
Good.
Yeah, out of like 40 troops.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
I think there were 42 or 43 troops, if I remember correctly.
For girls that have never been to Savannah before, we stayed in the top three for quite a while. We kind of started to
shift
lower down. A lot of the quests were really unique and fun. Like one of them, we had to walk across a certain street and we had to like gather people with us and sing our favorite Girl Scout song.
And there was a karaoke one.
Yeah, there was a karaoke one. That was a lot of people's favorite. And we got to squirt each other with water guns.
Yes.
It was fun. Which was really good because that was like...
It was hot.
It was hot the whole time.
We went to an alternative restaurant titled Fox and Figs. It is an all-vegan restaurant. Three of the people that were in our group that we went with, I myself am a vegetarian. Michaela's mom has a lot of specific allergies.
Yep.
And one of the girls who's not here with us today, her mom is vegan. So going there, it was a lot easier to make good, decisive choices for everyone's dietary needs.
So besides Savannah Quest, I mean, was that all you did while you were there? Or did you do other...
We did a lot of stuff.
What else did you do?
We also went to this really cool beach. It's called Tybee Island.
Yeah.
And of course, we went up to the Tybee Lighthouse. it was a really good view, and there was a lot of history about the whole lighthouse, mm-hmm. and that it used to be built on the beach and stuff like that.
It was some of our girls' first experience with an actual, like, ocean. So, like, Michaela and I both, when we were little, spent and kind of lived in a coastal area, her on the West Coast, me on the East Coast. And mm-hmm. so being able to go back to the beach was super cool. And it was also really fun watching the rest of our troop kind of experience the beach. But it was just, it was really fun. We did bodyboarding, so we kind of just, like, surfed the waves. So we rented an Airbnb because it's a lot cheaper for a troop because we've got kitchen appliances, we've got a living room, we can watch TV, we can usually fit 2 to 3 girls in each room, and then there's space for the leaders and stuff like that. Our house was a gorgeous historical house in historical Georgia.
It was so pretty.
It was really nice.
We walk in, and it's got a kind of grand staircase leading up to the upper stairs. And then you walk in further on the first floor, and you've got this gorgeous high ceilings and
kitchen.
A nice living room. And
that
the kitchen,
was a nice kitchen.
The kitchen was really nice.
How many days were you in Savannah?
5.
Yeah,
five total days.
How did you get there?
We drove.
Oh, wow.
18 hours.
No, 24
hours.
24 hours.
It was if we had not stopped, then it would be 18. But we had to stop for bathroom breaks. We had to stop for food. We were in there for at least 24 hours, maybe more.
So you slept in the van?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you take 2 vehicles or 1 vehicle?
We took one vehicle. We took, my mom recently got a bigger car, and so we can fit everybody in, and the leaders all took turns driving. It's really nice because we're all very comfortable with each other. So if, like, one of us falls asleep on, like, one of our shoulders, we're not going to be like, get off my shoulder. Mm-hmm. It's like...
You're friends.
Yeah, we're all friends. We're all close with each other. It's like if somebody didn't bring a blanket, oh, you can share mine.
Okay. How did you pay for this trip?
Well, of course, main thing, cookie selling.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of our funding came from cookie selling.
Also, the Raising Cane's fundraiser.
Oh, yeah. Support them. I forgot about that.
We did a small little fundraiser with Raising Cane's where... anybody that came in for, like, our fundraiser could say, like, hey, we're here for the Girl Scouts, and part of their money would be donated to the troop. Cookies, I sold over 1,000. Michaela, you sold 800, 900 boxes.
Yeah, I could have gone farther, but, you know, with my mom and mm-hmm. the weather.
The weather was really bad.
We came up with some ideas that we didn't end up using, but it was kind of fun brainstorming before we got to the idea of doing a Raising Cane's fundraising. One of the ones that we had thought of was a kind of trend a few years ago was paying people to set up flamingos in other people's yards as a prank. So we contemplated doing that.
We also thought about doing the thing for the Haymarket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, selling Michaela's mom makes Girl Scout cookie cheesecakes.
Oh, yes. Shit. They're amazing.
Yeah, we were planning on selling those and possibly most of us girls, like, we do art. Mm-hmm. So we were planning on possibly... selling those as well.
Yeah.
But we weren't able to get a booth.
We tried to do as much as, like, planning money-wise as we could to kind of avoid some costs. One of the things we did, like, was having an Airbnb versus doing a hotel room, because if we had done a hotel room, we would have needed, like, 3 rooms and mm-hmm. 3-4 rooms.
It would have been very expensive.
And it would have been $300-some a night.
We wouldn't have had a kitchen, so we wouldn't be able to make food.
Yeah, we'd have to pay for food so much more. That was one of the things that really, I think, helped save money. We went to Kroger's, which is a grocery store, you know, and we bought sandwich materials and materials for breakfast. That way we could avoid going out to eat.
So did you girls do most of the planning and budgeting for this trip?
One of the big things in our troop is we're trying to make it so that our troop is girl-led, and then the adults kind of do, like, the...
They support us.
Yeah. The adults are there to make sure that it happens, and we're here to
do
the work. Yeah.
Okay, so what was the planning process like for your troop?
It was long.
We didn't come up with the idea of going to Savannah until about, like, April, maybe, of 2019, and so... A lot of it was, this is your job, make sure this happens, and make sure that we can carry it through into actually being able to go to Savannah. Each girl in our group has their own leader position. I'm the leader, Lana's my co-leader. Michaela,
I'm finance.
Yeah, you're finance. One of our girls is historical.
I think that was me.
Yeah, Yeah, she's a historian, so she keeps track of like when our meetings are, what we did at our meetings.
And in planner.
Trish is our planner. She kind of like, she'll contact people if we need to do something for one of our badges, or she'll make sure that like, this is where we're going for this event. Let everybody know.
You know, not all troops travel like you.
Yeah.
What sort of advice do you have for troops who are thinking about traveling, but they're really not quite sure?
Make sure you plan ahead.
Yeah.
That is a big one.
Don't just do it on a limb and then get there and be like, all right, cool. Now what are we going to do?
Don't eat out often. Don't eat out often.
Okay.
Make sure that you go to a grocery store and pick up food if you can.
It's an easier way to save money, but if you do go and eat, make sure that you are going somewhere that you've never eaten before.
Try something new. Also, work hard for it. Working hard makes it even better.
It's so much more satisfying when you work hard at it and then you get to see the result. And
it may
seem like, oh, this is so much hard work. I don't know if I want to do it. Once you like get to go on the trip, you'll get to see how many good experiences there are. And even if it's something you don't think you'll like, you might end up liking it. And so I just say to go for it.
I think people should travel because there are many other stuff in the world, not just America.
I personally had a really good time because it's way different than here. You get to see how different people live.
I think people should be able to travel just to experience something that they may never be able to experience or might have never experienced before, to be able to go someplace new, to be able to meet new people, to be able to possibly find the place where you might want to spend the rest of your life.
I think everybody should really travel, whether it's a city in your state you've never been to or another state or another country.
These go-getters are already thinking about and planning for their next trip. They hope to visit the Girl Scout National Convention in October of 2020, taking place in Orlando. Our next interview is with a girl who traveled internationally for the first time this past summer. Sabrina went on a trip called a destination. Destinations are trips that are open to Girl Scouts from all over the country, but you have to apply and write an essay to get accepted. It's independent level travel, and there are lots of trips to choose from. There's something for every girl's interest. Sabrina went on a trip called Scuba and Sea Turtle Adventure.
I'm Sabrina. I live in Omaha, Nebraska, and I'm in 11th grade.
So where did you go on your destination?
I flew into San Jose, Costa Rica, and that was kind of where the base camp of the company that I went with was. And then for our actual destination trip, I was in Panama.
How long were you there?
So my entire trip was 15 days.
Had you traveled outside of the country before?
I'd been to Canada with my family, but that's about it.
So
it was like my first time flying somewhere and going by myself.
Yeah, so how did that go?
Flying was one of the parts I was the most nervous for because I've never flown by myself and I've never flown to a different country, but it was really easy. Like I didn't run into any problems, thankfully. So it was good. The first part of our trip was the sea turtle part. So we went to this little lagoon that they had in Panama and we met up with the people there what they do is they work with these sea turtles. And then we kind of got to experience what they do and help them out.
So what sort of work do they do with sea turtles?
During their sea turtle nesting season, every night they will walk the beaches to look for the mothers that are coming in to nest. So we got to experience that a little bit of doing the night walk, the turtle walks at night looking for nesting mothers. And then if they find one of these turtle nests, they will collect the eggs and transport them to the sea turtle hatchery. And the reason they do that is because when the eggs are in the sea turtle hatchery, they can be protected better. So that can protect them from crabs and dogs and even just other people that would be on the beach that could destroy or interfere with these nests. So one of the service projects we did was cleaning out these nests, because once the turtles hatch and leave, they have all those eggs left over in their hatchery and they need to reuse that space for future nests. So we helped clean out the nests and transport the eggs and put them the way that they'd like, so they can research and study those eggs to figure out what is working, what isn't working, what's going on with these eggs, and figure out if there's any diseases or something that they can work to help fix. And then another main part of that is once the turtles hatch from the hatchery, they have to go back into the ocean. So we got to do a lot of releasing these baby turtles back into the ocean. We got to take the baby turtles after they'd hatched from the nest. They crawl up to the surface in the sand. So on the surface of the sand, in their little spot in the hatchery, and then we transported them out onto the beach, onto closer to the water, and whatever distance they told us that was best for them. And then we got to hold them and transport them and set them down in the sand and watch them crawl towards the water, which is probably my favorite part of the trip.
That just must have been so adorable and wonderful to watch. Yeah. What was the training like? Like, did you have to go through like some training before you did this? How did that work?
We had one girl do a demonstration, so she dug up the nest because the eggs are a couple feet into the sand, so you have to dig down properly. And when you excavate the eggs, you have to do it properly and take good care of the eggs. Their big thing is that we, as the people, don't want to damage the eggs. We want to collect them the exact same way they were left by the turtles. So we had a girl demonstrate, someone who worked there, who was like, that's what she did every day. And then while we were doing it, we were being supervised, and then they would say, oh, you need to fix this, or oh, you need to make sure you're doing this, because it's something that they took really seriously.
So the groups that you partnered with were they residents of Panama or that city?
Yeah, they lived out there. That's where they lived. They lived on this little lagoon that we were at, and that's just what they did all year. They came out to do that. A lot of them just spoke Spanish, so we had to do some translation with some of our instructors on course to kind of explain it to us. They lived there and they were from Panama.
What was some of the challenging or difficult parts of that experience?
I really enjoyed it, but it was just the whole excavation process takes a little while and it's very hot and you're very sweaty. So that was kind of hard. Just kind of, you know, it's hard work, I would say. Mm-hmm. It's not like, and we did some other service projects while we were with them, just helping out for whatever they needed. And it's hard work, but it's very just rewarding.
So after the sea turtles, what did you do?
After the sea turtles, we stayed there for only a couple days, and then we took a boat and we traveled for a little bit until we got to our dock home. It was this place called Isla Solarte, and that's where we kind of spent the rest of our trip, which was doing our water sports and scuba diving.
Okay, so had you scuba dived before or done any of those water sports before?
I scuba dived once about maybe 5 or so years ago, but it was only for about an hour and they didn't teach me how to do anything and it was in a pool. And the water sports I'd never done before.
What sort of learning was there involved with scuba diving? What, did you have to go through a class and get certified or how did that work?
So we had an instructor down there and the certification course I did, you could do it in 4 days. So that's what we did. And then even a couple days starting before that, we were given a book and like a big, thick textbook and then a workbook. So then every night we'd have certain chapters to read from this workbook, from our textbook, and we had to fill out the workbook. And then we would study them. And then we had an instructor come, and he taught us everything that there is involved in scuba diving. He taught us how to read dive tables and how to set up the equipment and how to know if the scuba tanks are good and how much air they have and just how to scuba dive, I guess. So we did that for 4 days, and then at the end of my course, we had a written test that we'd studied for, reading the chapters from the book that we had to pass, and then we had a practical test where we got in the water with our instructor, and he would almost test scenarios that could happen while we were scuba diving that we had to be prepared to handle. And then if we passed both of those, then we got our certification, which I did. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
So then did you do a lot of scuba diving for the rest of your time there?
Mm-hmm. Scuba diving, like I said, was, I think we did it for 4 or 5 days, but we did it for every single day. So it was a lot of scuba diving. And we got to go to different coral reefs. We got to go to a couple different coral reefs, and we went to a shipwreck. So an old ferry had just sunk out there, I don't know, someplace close to where we were learning. So we got to swim through the ruins of that, and we got to see the different ship's walls and just the creatures living there. And then we did a night dive, and we got to see bioluminescence, which is, I believe, plankton or something similar that is glowing throughout the waters. And when you swim in it at night, it's like there's specks of light all over the water.
What was that like, swimming through the bioluminescence?
It was really cool. It was new. All the other scuba diving we had done was during the day. And at this point, we had already gotten our certification, and this was like our congratulations dive, I guess. So we got to go off kind of in pairs on our own. We didn't have to follow our instructor the entire time. I mean, we were obviously close to where we needed to be, close to our boat. But it was very cool because it was like on your own. And it was also dark. So there was a lot of trusting and knowing, like, I know how to use my equipment and I know how to make sure I'm being safe. And the bioluminescence is really pretty. And it was a really cool thing that I had never seen anything like before.
So what other water sports did you do?
We went snorkeling before we went scuba diving just to get used to breathing through a mask and using goggles and things like that. And then we did wakeboarding and kneeboarding. And I was not the best at wakeboarding, but I was getting pretty good at kneeboarding. So that was a lot of fun to do.
Did you have to raise a lot of money to go on this trip?
I got a lot of scholarships for this trip. Mm-hmm. I got some from the council, some from just other, I'm not exactly sure, but I got a bunch locally and internationally. So it was not a lot at all for me to be able to go on this trip.
What would you say to a girl who has never done a destination before and was thinking about it?
I would say go for it. Look, go through the options, look, see what interests you. Pick one, obviously apply for the ones that you think interest you. And I would say don't worry about like all the things you're scared of, like the flight or being away from people you know, because while you're at your trip, it's such a cool experience and you learn so many new things. All the things that I was nervous about or all the things that I was like, oh no, what if this happens? It didn't matter. Like I got sick, it didn't matter. It was just such a cool experience. If I wouldn't have gone on it, I never would have learned all the things that I know now and I never would have made all these new memories. So I would definitely recommend it. If you're traveling for the first time internationally, I would say just be prepared. Like, I sat down with my mom and she kind of taught me how to maneuver through an airport because I was going to be doing that. And we kind of went through and we looked at their packing list that they had provided and made sure we had everything and anything else we could have thought that I needed. And I had extra clothes and I was just prepared. And once I felt prepared and understood what I was doing and I felt confident that it was going to be good, then I wasn't nervous at all. So I would just say be prepared because that will really help you know what you're doing.
As you can hear from Sabrina, travel is a huge confidence builder for girls. I hope this episode has inspired you to go out and plan your own trip. If you are interested in learning about Girl Scout destinations, you can find all the trips online, and the best way to do it is just to Google Girl Scouts destinations. And keep in mind, there are a lot of different ways to help pay for your girl's trip. Thank you so much for listening to the fifth episode of Be You, Be Heard. For episode 6, we are going to be talking about troops. What's the benefit of the troop? How do you join one? What do girls think of them anyway? If you have questions about being a Girl Scout, you can head online to our website at girlscoutsnebraska.org. If your troop is interested in contributing to this podcast, email marketing@girlscoutsnebraska.org. If you enjoy this podcast, spread the love. Tell a friend, share it on your social media, or rate us on your podcast listening app. Thank you so much.
Try new things when you travel. Try all sorts of new things.